Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Cockery.
And this is the podcast where we don't sleepishly trade away one of our top six for magic beans.
Ha.
Dude. Okay, first off.
This happened Thursday.
We've had
a few days to digest it.
Hang on. Going a little bit even further here. This is an August podcast.
Yeah.
And we are opening.
Welcome to August.
And we are opening with hockey. No, we don't live in North Dakota. No, we are not in Canada.
We live in Buffalo.
We're in Southern Canada.
Yeah.
We're in Buffalo.
We talk hockey in August.
But we talk hockey in August because something happened.
Yeah.
That's the biggest part about it, is that it's not that it's necessarily like we're talking hockey because, hey, how are the Amerks looking in the pipeline here or something like that. We're not that hockey crazy. We're more well-rounded folk. But
I mean, I'm hockey crazy.
You're more hockey crazy, but you're also a well-rounded folk.
True.
But the Sabres, and I'm glad there was no police report filed, got away with robbery. That's the blatant way I'm going to put it.
I do like the way you put it there.
I'm sorry,
and
but like, how do you...
It's true. Okay. We've had a few days to digest it, but if you've been living under a rock...
The Sabres trade for Jeff Skinner.
And they trade away
Cliff
prospect
Poo,
Cliff Poo.
A second in 2019 and a third in 2020 along with a sixth in 2020.
Three.
What?
Draft. Yeah.
I remember you were here.
I was at BEN. I was call screening for Tom Byerly and Dave Bellavia.
And
you were doing updates for Chopin Bulldog. And you were also getting ready for the nightcap.
We were getting ready to transition, and usually that means we play something back from an interview earlier in the day.
And I think
you stormed in when Joe and I were talking.
It was around what, like
6:40?
Yes. And I saw the news had gone down like 2 minutes before. I was like, and I was with Phil Kennedy, the producer at BEN for Barley Bellavia, and I just like. Holy S, the Sabres just traded for Jeff Skinner.
Holy stuff.
Yes.
The Sabres traded for Jeff Skinner. Yeah, that's what you said.
That's what I said. And Phil was like, oh. And I was like, oh.
And then that's what you did. Running
and then I stormed out of the BEN studio.
Down the hall.
Told afternoon news reporter Tom Puckett that Jeff Skinner just got traded to the Sabres. He was on Twitter, and then he saw it as well. It's like, oh yeah, there you go. Oh wow, here we go. And then I ran right into the GR studio, and you two were talking about stuff, and I was like,
we were plotting for the nightcap.
Yeah, and I was like, guys, Jeff
funny
Skinner
thing
just
is,
got traded to Buffalo.
Funny thing is, we didn't need any planning after that.
No,
we were talking about, hey, what do we go on here today? And the next thing you know, Frank comes in, guys, did you see what happened? No, what happened, Frank? The Sabres got Jeff Skinner. What? You're messing. No, you're not messing with us. You wouldn't do that.
And then,
oh
Joe
my God, they
Twitter
got
account,
Jeff Skinner.
And it's the first thing there.
Yeah.
Is Jeff Skinner to Buffalo.
Oh my God, they actually traded for Jeff Skinner. Okay, what's the cost?
And
2 minutes later, and everyone's just like,
they gave up that?
They only gave up that?
They gave up that for Skinner?
That's it? We're not, there's no conditions?
There's no conditions? Wait. Like, it was like this. They traded for Jeff Skinner and didn't trade a first round pick.
Or a roster player. They just.
I would have been fine with the roster player depending on who it was. But the fact that a first-round pick wasn't traded.
I'm ashamed.
That was more important.
I'm ashamed no Carolina beat writer came up with the headline, Canes get poo for Skinner.
Actually, that joke has been thrown aside.
Oh, that joke's been there. I'm just mad that I haven't seen it on a newspaper. Come on, you had a golden opportunity.
You had the chance. You messed up.
Then again,
the Hurricanes messed up.
They have 14 fans.
This is true.
So, the Sabres now, this looks a lot more promising. There are so many ways now you could draw up the top six, which got the final piece to my biggest questions, which were, what are you going to do here? You got Connor Sherry probably playing on the wing with Jack Eichel, and what are you going to do there for Casey Mittelstadt? Is Tage Thompson going to be a guy that you spin the tires on? Is something like that going to happen, or is Evan Rodriguez going to get some playing time still up in the top six every now and then? How do you work this?
I've worked so since
answer Jeff Skinner.
Yep. So since the trade went down, I kind of made like a little depth chart slash line combinations that I think would be good for the Sabres, and what might happen, we'll see.
I had asked Brian Koziel. The night that it happened, when Joe and I did the nightcap, I asked Brian Koziel, if you had to make a choice on which player you are putting Skinner with, if it's going to be Eichel or if it's going to be Mittelstadt, he suspected it's probably going to be Eichel. And
I think to start,
I do think that that makes the most sense. But I think of it this way. What easier way is there to break in Casey Mittelstadt for a full NHL season than to have a proven gunner?
Yeah.
On his
way. I think the other argument, though, is Jeff Skinner offensively is very much like Evander Kane was when he was here.
Shoot from anywhere?
He shoots. He just, you know, he's just a pure shooter. He will shoot from anywhere. I've seen him shoot from wherever he feels like it. But I'm saying is, like, his ability to generate shots.
Okay.
And his goal-scoring ability as well. We saw how much success Eichel and Kane was together. And with Jeff Skinner being a better skater, he's faster than Kane. He's a better skater than Kane. That was one of his biggest assets.
That's crazy.
When he was drafted.
Better than Kane at skating.
Evander Kane's a good skater. Yeah. Skinner's better. Remember, that was one of his biggest assets when he was drafted, was his skating ability. And you might want to put someone like that with Eichel, because more likely than not, Reinhardt's going to be on his right wing. But at the same time, you could also argue, have that kind of shooter to help grow Casey Mittelstadt. And have Connor Sherry be on Eichel's wing, because Sherry will bring the speed as well, and he can score.
All right,
and
Frank.
Eichel obviously Sherry. We know Connor Sherry was just had his success when he was playing with Crosby.
All right, Frank. Why don't you give us what you drew up then, while I draw mine up?
I went with Sherry with Eichel and Reinhardt. I'm going to go with that. I have Skinner with Mittelstadt and Oposo. That's my top six.
Yeah, you're actually right there in agreement with me. Why do we agree a lot?
I don't know.
You know, weird. I'm an idiot, right?
Yeah, I know. That means I'm an idiot, too. My third line right now is Sobotka with Berglund and Rodriguez. Berglund centers, Rodriguez on the right wing, Sobotka on the left. And the fourth line right now, obviously things can change. I have Wilson with Gergensen and Pominville.
So that means no Tage Thompson.
I have Tage Thompson in Rochester to start.
To start the season.
I have two extra forwards in Larson and Nick Baptiste.
Okay.
And right now, and I also drew up essentially what could be the top nine in Rochester, with Thompson on the first line with C.J. Smith and Daniel Regan.
Hmm.
And that's the thing. With Jeff Skinner now, does C.J. Smith have a spot? Or does he go back to Rochester again?
No. At this point, no.
So that's another question. Right now, my second line is Sean Malone centering with Justin Bailey and Alex Nylander. And the third line right now is Asplund with Olofsson and Ogilvy. That could be the top nine in Rochester. All young guys.
Dear God, that's actually fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, defensively, I'm still going to say I think the top six is going to be Dahlin, Risto, Scandella, McCabe, Gooley, Nelson. As of right now, I think that's what's going to be the case. And then Hunwick, Bogosian right now is my 7-8. And the potential top four, if things go that way, Beaulieu gets waived and goes to Rochester. And the top four in Rochester could be Beaulieu, Lawrence Pilut, Brandon Hickey, and Will Borgen.
Yeah, that's... This makes the organization stronger all the way through now, which is the strangest part. So I guess the conversation now has to change this, Frank. What do we expect? The excuses are done. And, yep. I mean, at the very least, if they are boring again, this falls on Howell's League pretty quickly.
Yes.
And
I agree.
And it's kind of terrible that it looks like that, but this team was unbearable to watch at best at times.
Yep. And now you're at now they've added the players that Housley has said he wanted, that Bottrell has said he wanted. So they have to take, and these are good players that they've added.
From last year, there are immediately five new players in your forward group that are starting out in week one, in game one here, week one.
Week one.
I'm in football mode.
I know.
But then you also got Rasmus Dahlin, and you've also got Brandon Gooley, who are both projected to be, I mean, Dahlin, obviously, but Gooley is projected to make this team.
Yep.
So there's a lot different this year.
There's a lot of turnover.
And two new goaltenders.
Yep.
The expectation now is blank.
I think the expectation is somewhere between 9th and 11th in the East overall. I don't think playoffs is still realistic because for all we know, they might need a year, that growing year still.
All right.
But they have to be competitive this year. They have to. You're right. No more excuses. No more. If they're not competitive this year, I won't put the blame on Bottrell, but I think you put the blame on Housley. Yep.
Ready? My expectation is 90 points.
I think
that's ninth. That's not a playoff spot. Florida was in ninth last year with 96.
I agree. I think somewhere between 85 and 90 is very realistic.
I'm looking at 90 points. And in the Atlantic, that's not going to get you a playoff spot because you have Toronto, you have Tampa, you have Boston. And in the Metropolitan, you're always going to bank on Washington. You're always going to be able to bank on Pittsburgh. After that's a
thing.
Bit of a hodgepodge.
See, that's the thing.
There's
right.
a crossover potential Boston, for Toronto, Florida and Buffalo.
Boston, Toronto, Tampa is your top three in the Atlantic. Washington, Pittsburgh is your top two in the Metro. That third spot is open for potentially three teams. Philly, Columbus, and New Jersey.
From last year, those are the three teams there. Carolina was actually next
Carolina
up in that division.
And now I think...
And they just kind of traded away a top six wing.
They did, remember, they do have Svechnikov now.
And their goaltending is still garbage.
I look at their goaltending more. I look at Carolina's goaltending more and think it's still not good. If it's average, they have a chance. They have a chance.
The Rangers are rebuilding.
Average. Yeah, Rangers are rebuilding. The Islanders are something.
The Islanders had dynamite blow up in their face.
So,
and
I would,
they have
so you're probably
no
looking
shootout
at the Rangers
next year.
The Rangers, the Rangers, Islanders, and Hurricanes are probably bottom three in the Metro, along with Detroit, Ottawa, Montreal being bottom three in the Atlantic. Those are six teams right away that Buffalo should be better than.
You know what? Just do me a favor, Buffalo. Just do me this and this alone. Can you win some damn games at home this year? That'd be cool. They won 11 home games last year.
Yeah.
11.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what the worst part? If you look at all the splits from home and away, That's the least amount in any regard. It's tied with Montreal on the road with 11 road wins. The Habs had 11 wins on the road. The Sabres had 11 wins at home. Those were the worst splits from home and away.
Right.
So the Sabres, so the Habs were the worst road team in the NHL last year, followed closely by Ottawa, by the way, with only 12 wins on the road. But at home, the next worst was 16. That was a tie.
That's bad.
Between the likes of Vancouver, Arizona, Ottawa, and Detroit.
That's bad.
And they were 5 wins off of that.
Yeah. For me,
that's how bad they were last year.
Make this season, make the games fun.
Make it entertaining. And guess what? Part of that, win some damn games at home.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
So, right away, though, that's 6 teams in Detroit, Ottawa, Montreal, Carolina, and both New York teams that the Sabres should be better than right away. One of those 3 in the Metro in Philly, Columbus, New Jersey is going to be in that third spot.
And then one of them is probably just going to unreasonably drop off.
One of them, yeah, I think one of those teams might drop off as well. It might be, I think Philly's going to be that third spot again. Kind of what I'm feeling. I'm feeling a regression out of one of Columbus or New Jersey, and they may fall out of the playoffs because of it. Right there, that's 4 teams, including Buffalo, for 2 spots. And if one of those teams drops off, that becomes 3.
Mm-hmm.
With Columbus or New Jersey, whoever doesn't drop off or drops off not enough.
Yeah,
Florida and Buffalo.
This is.
I mean, let's be real. Play like it's not out of the picture.
It's out of the picture,
and it's there's harder. There is a very realistic scenario, because think about this. Out of Philly got better by adding JVR.
Yes.
Did Columbus get better this offseason? No, and they might be getting worse.
And torches
with Panarin.
Torches.
And towards the store, but with Panarin.
They do still have Bobrovsky
to
help stabilize their entire season. Because even when they don't get a lot of goals, Columbus is always at least a threat because Bob keeps them in games.
That's true.
The man should have a Vezina.
But should...
He should have had the Vezina last year, I think.
But should there be ramped up trade talks with Panarin?
If they're not in a playoff spot, yes. You can't let him walk for nothing.
Did New Jersey get better?
I think they're not a team that necessarily needs to get better. They have the youth, and the big key is, do they take the next step? Also, New Jersey made the playoffs last year with an injury to Corey Schneider.
Yeah.
And obviously,
it took
years past, if Corey Schneider got hurt in New Jersey, that's a lottery team.
And obviously, it helped that.
We could have lost out on Jack Eichel had New Jersey gotten an injury from Corey Schneider. That's how bad the Devils generally were.
It also helped that they had Taylor Hall win MVP.
Again. But
that helps.
You see, Taylor Hall wasn't even one of the... Like, he was one of the top scorers in the league, but he wasn't the top scorer in the league.
Right.
It's not just Taylor Hall, though. That's the big thing. They have pieces there. They have young core pieces, starting with Nico Hischier. He should take a next step.
He should.
And there are a lot of young players in that
place
that should take a next step. That's why I'm not counting the Devils on that team to shoot themselves in the foot. I'm looking more at Columbus and, for some reason, Philly.
I don't think Philly's going to be that because they got better.
Dave Haxel's not a good coach.
They got better by adding JVR, and they still got – and their guys – a lot of their key players are also young.
They don't unleash that youth, though. That's the problem. Well, you saw how Shane Gostisbehere took a major step back.
Right.
And – the development is just not there. I don't think that they use their youth properly.
All I'm feeling is that playoffs are very realistic because the Sabres got better.
If they get to 90, if they get into the 90,
Sabres got better
range,
dramatically, and Florida got really much, really better.
Florida just, I don't know what happened last year. It just wasn't there to start off the season.
Very Luongo got hurt.
Yeah.
And Reimer wasn't really playing
Reimer
well.
Reimer got hurt, too, because they had to claim...
He did at some point, yeah.
Yeah, they got to a point where they had to claim...
Some goalie.
Who is the one that was really bad and all over the place last year? Started in Pittsburgh, but then it wasn't Halak.
Niemi?
Yes, it was Antti Niemi.
Was Niemi in Florida last year?
They had to claim him for a couple of games because they were that bad in injuries.
Huh.
Antti Niemi. That's right. I forgot that he was the one that was terrible last year. Oh, and the Canadiens signed him to a deal to back up Carey Price.
Yeah.
And they think they're going to be a playoff team. Oh, that's adorable, Bergevin. You're so adorable. He cleaned up his double-digit.
Yeah, he did play in Florida for a couple of games.
He did clean up the double-digit goals against average that he had to start the year. Yes, I'm not exaggerating.
Okay.
The man was over a 10 goals against average at one point in the season last year. It started when he allowed 8 goals in his first game again for the Penguins.
3 games in Pittsburgh, 750 goals against, 797 save percentage.
Ew.
His 2 games in Florida, 508 goals against, 872.
God.
Yeah. 19 games in Montreal, 2.46 goals against, so not bad.
That's actually good.
Yeah. 929 save percentage.
Oh, I hope this blows up in your face, Bergevin.
Oh, it's going to blow up in his face.
Because that's the only team that he actually managed to do something for, and Montreal is bad.
Hey, that's why. But that's why, though.
The save percentage gets... No, because the problem is...
Taking so many shots.
That's true, but we saw a bad Sabres team get shut out by them.
That too.
Yeah, yes, I was at a game.
Yeah, I don't think Miami was enough for that game.
Yeah, you were there with me when we went to that game where the Sabres got shut out by anti-freaking Niemi.
Did Niemi shut out the Sabres?
Yes, he did.
I thought it was...
I remember I was so mad I wanted to throw something, but I didn't have anything worth throwing.
I don't remember seeing that. I don't think I was at that game.
Hmm. We'll talk about that off the air because nobody cares.
That too. Basically...
off the air. Also, when we stop recording.
Yeah. Basically, all we're getting is that playoffs are very realistic for the Sabres.
Yes, and if they can get to 90 points, there is
hope.
There's hope.
Yeah.
Now, my biggest thing is going to always be this. I don't know if it necessarily matters what happens this year with the Sabres when it comes to making the playoffs. The next step is already in place.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying if you're another team.
Yeah.
You want to know why? The Sabres have 3 first-round picks.
Yeah, they did.
St. Louis should make the playoffs. San Jose is going to make the playoffs. And what does that leave you? 3 first-round picks for Buffalo that they can wheel and deal with in the draft or use all 3 picks if they so choose.
Yeah.
Whether a team hits on those picks or not is always going to be a question. But the biggest thing is, it's still draft capital. And you know what teams like getting dealt at the NHL draft on that floor? They like being in the conversation for some draft capital.
Yeah.
So you can go ahead and liberate some players on some contracts or teams looking to get rid of someone because they know that they're not going to sign them long-term, a la Jeff Skinner. Go get you another piece next year, Sabres. By the way, I see that you looked up the game where they got shut out.
Yep.
By Antti Niemi.
It was Niemi. He made 35 saves that game.
Yeah.
So that'll help your save percentage.
Yeah. That facing the Sabres last year.
But by the way,
I'll do it.
I don't think I was at this game.
I was there all week. I remember going to 3 straight home games. And I had 3 straight losses.
I was at the game in Nashville.
Yes, you were. Here.
That was
maybe
why,
that's why it blends together.
That's what
together.
You were thinking. Yeah, because you were at the games all week.
I went to 3 games
I went with you.
I went to 3 Sabres games in a week last year.
You were there all week because we went with a couple of our other friends to the Nashville game.
Yes. Who the hell went with me to the Montreal game?
I don't know. Maybe you went by yourself.
No. One does not take in that kind of stuff alone. You bring a friend to at least suffer or pay for your parking.
I do. I was also at the Vegas game when Vegas was here.
And that was another loss.
That was
but they won 11 games last year at home, so there were a lot of those.
That was a shootout loss, too.
So you were part of the 5. on the 11, 25, and 5.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see a lot of those fives.
I did see one of the 11 home wins, though.
Congrats.
It was against Columbus when Ullmark made like 40 saves.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
I was at that game.
Now, Frank.
Yes.
This team is going to be better.
Yes.
They are going to be more entertaining. Holy crap. There may be even be playoff conversations a year later.
Yes.
And this sparks so much of this Colorado thing from last year to this year.
And New Jersey.
And New Jersey, because you saw two teams, one that happened to win the draft lottery, and one that was so bad they should have won the draft lottery, ended up picking fourth.
Yeah.
And yet, strangely enough, prospects-wise, it's the Sabres that may have one of the better prospects of this draft class from that group in Casey Mittelstadt playing this year.
Yeah.
That's bonkers.
Mm-hmm. This is what good drafting does. When you draft, and obviously, obviously, too, it helps when you get lucky and you get the first all-round pick and you get a generational defenseman in Rasmus Dahlin. Obvious choice. But when you know what you're doing in terms of drafting overall, that accelerates any kind of rebuild you are in right away. Even if these players aren't making an impact right away. Look at the 2017 draft class. Look at the 2018 draft class for Botterill. He has brought in more talent in those two drafts alone than Murray did in three.
Mm-hmm.
And Murray, he had the easy choice of Eichel.
Yep.
He made the decision on Reinhart.
Yep.
Obviously, with Alex Nylander, it's okay. We still got to figure this out.
As a matter of fact, we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
Keep going.
But outside of the first, we've talked about this too. Outside of the first round, who else has he gotten? Brendan Gulley. Okay, Brendan Gulley looks really good. Great. Anybody else? Well, Cliff Plew looked interesting. Rasmus Asplund looks interesting. So, there's three guys right there. And obviously, Victor Olofsson. That's four guys. But that's four guys in 3 years. You can name three guys in 1 year for Botterill. In the 2017 draft class. The 2017 draft class was really good. A really good draft class outside of Mittelstadt. And it's stuff like that.
That makes you
happy.
That
set back the franchise.
It's things like that that help your franchise
out. Because imagine if the Sabres had guys from the 14 and 15 draft class playing on the team last year.
Mm-hmm.
Besides Eichel and Reinhart.
That'd
making
be good.
An impact. And doing something.
I look at that second round where Eric Cornell, Vaclav Karabacek.
Yeah, what have they done?
And they've done nothing.
Yeah.
You needed more guys like a Brendan Gulley, a second rounder that ends up becoming a guy that
guys in the third and fourth
you
round,
need.
You know. Sometimes it takes guys a little while, but
you need something to show up eventually.
Yeah. I mean,
and Victor Olofsson looks like that.
Yeah, and it's good that happened. It just took a little bit, but that'll happen. I mean, Toronto went through the same thing with Connor Brown. Connor Brown was drafted in the sixth round in 2012, and it took him like 4 years. So, same thing, you know. Some players you wait a little bit on, but you could take those chances when it's one player. But then you've got other players from draft years around it that are coming in and making an impact. And we just haven't seen that with Murray. In his three drafts, I named four players outside of the first round that look good and are good. And one of them is now in Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's...
And can you name anybody else? No.
It's really frustrating. Look, I'm done with Tim Murray. You want to know why?
There's only one
Botchel's
player.
Blueprint is now being established.
It's been established, and it's fantastic. There's one player that Murray drafted that I haven't mentioned who could be something. I mean, okay, obviously forgot Will Borgen too, but Casey Fitzgerald's the only other guy who looks interesting. But I mean, when you look at what Botterill's done 17 and 18, Marcus Davidson looks really good. UPL
Yes, Luukkonen's going to Sudbury to CHL to get
I'm very happy with that. Linus Weisbeck looks really good in college. He's playing in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
He had a really good freshman year. Oskari Lekkonen. He looked good in the Finnish showcase.
By the way.
Along with UPL.
That was the pick that a lot of people laughed at.
Yeah.
And now he is looking like a player that Jason Brouse was like, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And
hey, I know what I'm doing. And then the last player from the 2017 draft class, Jacob Bryson, playing at Providence.
Now, obviously, these things still have to develop.
Sure.
But my big thing is this.
We just named the entire 2017 draft class as they got some good players.
How about shipping off the headaches that became headaches that Tim Murray paid a lot to acquire?
Yep.
In each of them.
Yep.
You ended up getting a first rounder for Vander Kane.
Yep.
Which was helpful.
Yep.
You ended up getting a first rounder and then some for Ryan O'Reilly.
Yep.
Far more than you paid for him.
You got to, and I mean.
Which evens out what you paid for Kane.
Yeah.
Actually, what you paid for Kane ended up turning out to be relatively light. Because that first rounder is the only thing that really might do some damage.
Well, you got everything back.
But you got the things back for it.
And more.
Robin Lehner became nothing.
Yep.
To the point where you let him go willingly and said, okay, have fun.
Yeah.
Get out of here. But all three of the, actually, you know what? Not really. I can't say that. I don't know what Evander Kane's presence was in the locker room.
Yeah, we don't.
But I've gotten a hint based on what I've heard from Ryan O'Reilly, and from Robin Lehner. Lehner, pretty much to me, seemed like that malcontent. One of the bigger headaches in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And also, stop a damn breakaway / shootout thing. Please.
You know, there are reports that he refused to do shootouts and practices because
he's bad at it.
Couldn't stop him. Yeah.
Look, I get a mental block, but
that's what practice is for, dude.
That's what practice is for.
You're gonna make the mistakes in practice so you can work on them.
How did naming your fish after reporters that are critical of you go? Ryan O'Reilly, he just wasn't the leader that everyone expected him to be.
Yeah.
And that's not his fault.
No, it's not.
But the man also was involved with some sort of I'm just going to stupidly describe it as a pissing match with Matt Duchene.
Sure.
Because the two of them were looking at similar contracts and everything like that, and similar age, similar production, blah, blah, blah.
Drafted the same year.
And now you're sensing a bit of a pattern where a team has decided to move on from you again. I don't know if it's necessarily damning. I think it's just more of maybe Ryan O'Reilly gets misconstrued as this great leader when it seems like he's more of a, by example, staying late for practices and shouldn't have a microphone stuck up to his face all of the time.
Right.
Because he says literally the same thing.
Yep.
That's not the worst thing in the world about him, not even close.
No.
But you can tell that if the second team was looking to move on from him, the one that had just acquired him 3 years ago, well, there's a pattern, it looks like, I think. And it seems like Ryan O'Reilly may not be the easiest player to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But now this means this, though, Frank, and here's the biggest thing for me. There are no more excuses for Jack Eichel.
Yep.
Our golden boy now has a target on his back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Jack Eichel is still undoubtedly the best player on this team. And yes, undoubtedly, it still means that the tank still could have worked. Looking at you there, Harrington.
Okay.
The tank still worked. It still got you, Jack Eichel. What happened after that was the biggest disaster that I could ever have thought of. However, this is it. There are no more excuses for Jack Eichel.
Yeah. It's his team.
But strangely enough, Jack Eichel still is a player who can get to a point per game.
Yep.
In a league that does not happen anymore that often. I expect Jack Eichel to get to 90 points. I expect the Sabres to get to 90 points. I expect Jack Eichel to get to 90 points.
I think
if he's healthy enough.
Yeah, I think 90.
You could see an Austin Matthews-esque season from last year where you end up a point per gamer and he only happens to end up playing in 65 games because something might happen.
Yeah, and that was pretty much Eichel last season anyway. I'm going to pull up.
But I'm looking at this right now.
He had 64 points in 67 games last year.
That's still almost a point per game.
Almost a point a game.
On a team where you gave him nothing. I'm sorry, but Zemgus Girgensons cannot be on a first line. No. The man cannot finish for anything.
Yeah.
Maybe he needs to move to Finland and get some finish in him because the poor Latvian does not know how to finish a goal.
Maybe he should be training with Ristolainen.
Maybe he should be training with Bogosian.
Oh.
Whoa. Thank you, by the way, random keyboard warrior, for allowing us to watch Zach Bogosian, a hockey player, straight up dunk on your ass. Because, look, we all say the greatest ability is availability, and that's something obviously all of us want in Zach Bogosian. But if you call a guy out, well, be ready for the clapback.
Right.
How's that? There's my piece on that.
Okay.
All right. So, look, I expect there is a chance that Jack Eichel gets to 90 points. I expect there's a chance that Jeff Skinner gets another 30-goal season in him. If they are on the same line, I am ready for that.
By the way, quick math. Eichel with 64 points in 67 games last year, that's a .96.
Pretty much a point a gamer.
That would, if he would have played a full year, he'd have had 78 points.
And you take that.
Yeah.
Especially with how bad that team was.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was also playing at a 90-point pace last year, too, because remember when he was getting hurt? When he got hurt, he was scoring at will.
Yeah, he and Kane were kind of doing everything at the start.
He was scoring at will.
And then Kane tapered off because Kane was up at a point per game early in the season. We're like, oh, my God, we're going to get the world for Evander Kane.
Yeah.
And then it stopped happening. And then Kane got taken off the line with Eichel, and everyone's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
We need that guy up there so that we can get trade value.
Mm-hmm.
Please. All right. But it looks like to me, though, that the Sabres are a team back on the up.
They're a threat.
They're back on the up.
They're a threat in the East now.
The Bills have a free play this year. The Sabres are back on the up. What the hell is going on?
Things. Good things.
Indeed.
That's what's happening.
I like good things. Good things
are good. Yeah.
Good things are good.
Yeah.
And things.
Yeah. It's exciting.
Yo, can we talk about something real quick as we move to football?
What's that?
The Raiders are going to be awful.
They're going to be bad.
John Gruden is submarining this team.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be shocked if I find out that he's a double agent for Tampa all along.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. That'd be hilarious, actually.
Because now the latest, you got him calling out Martavis Bryant. He needs to get out here and play better. It says that in the reports that Bryant has failed to impress at Raiders camp, and it's more of John Gruden putting him on notice and everything, but I'm sorry. I'm not going to listen to the guy who has decided to torpedo his special teams unit. And has made very questionable decisions with the rest of his roster. And if I hear anything about Spider 2Y Banana, Gruden, I'm going to throw a banana at you. I think Oakland's going to be awful. I'm ready for this to be just the worst thing that the Raiders can get. Poor Oakland, by the way. They don't deserve this with their team leaving.
Yeah, the city itself, yeah. Well,
everyone thought that there was a chance that they can make a Super Bowl run before they had to go to Vegas.
Ah.
That looks so far in the rearview mirror now.
Yeah. I mean, at least the A's are doing well this year.
That's good for them, at least. But they're about to lose the Raiders again.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts more than anything.
Yeah.
And you know what else hurts?
Hmm.
Words, Frank.
Words do hurt.
Words do hurt.
Yeah.
And you know, that old saying, but words will never hurt me. No, they can put some pain on you. Want to know why?
Why?
You know what? Hang on.
Who hurt you, Derek?
I don't know. It's not necessarily who hurt me.
Who hurt you?
It's more about the headache that I get when I see lazy ass reporting! Bleacher Report put up an article about players that have disappointed thus far in training camp.
Okay.
Josh Allen's on that list. Because he's with the third team. I'm sorry. But it clearly means to me, look, you don't have to be at camp. You don't have to be there to try to formulate an opinion on the Buffalo Bills. And that's fine. Follow the right people. There are beat writers that are there every day that you need to take the word.
The problem is,
we've got Sal Capaccio here for GR. We interviewed Matt Perino of New York Upstate. Yes. We've got people in this area that know what the hell they're talking about because they have eyeballs that can see things for you. Do not go ahead and put up what is not true because strictly you see where they are on the depth chart. Also, there has been half of a preseason game played. There hasn't even been a real preseason game played.
So, okay.
If Josh Allen goes 4-for-10 like Lamar Jackson did, there is going to be such a stupid outrage from the national media that it's going to be deafening for me. The amount of internal screaming that I will have to try to shut it all up.
So here's why I can't take it seriously anyway. You're right. It's the national media. And
it ain't that hard. You just follow a beat writer.
They don't, because they're not there. But here is the issue, though. They don't care who the quarterback is. They look at the fact that a quarterback that was drafted 7th overall in the first round is 3rd on the team's depth chart. Most commonly, quarterbacks taken in the first round, especially in the top 15, should be the team starter right away. Or at worst, their backup.
I get
when they see that a quarterback drafted 7th is behind A.J. McCarron and Nathan Peterman, they think something's wrong with that quarterback. And he's a bust. And he might be a bust.
The thing is, there's a lot. We talked with Mark Schofield
a
little bit ago. And we know. And the time previous, Mark Schofield was trying to talk me off a ledge because I saw that they had passed up Josh Rosen for Josh Allen, and I was ready to go ahead and quit being a Bills fan.
I know. I was there.
Now, I've embraced what the Bills quarterback is because of the fact that he is the Bills quarterback. And that is all, nothing more.
Right.
And I want to take anything that he can do, and I want to look at it in a positive light. And I want to look at it with hope because of the fact that he is the Bills quarterback. Josh Allen, by all accounts, by all Twitter accounts of beat writers' accounts, has looked better than people expected him to look in training camp thus far.
And because the national media is not there, they only see where he is on the depth chart.
You see, again,
so they assume.
And again, that's lazy.
It is lazy.
And that's the part I think that I hate the most. It could be accurate that he is 3rd on the depth chart, and that is a little disappointing. But
that's there. He's there for a reason. He's there right now.
Everyone thought, coming in, outside of the Josh Allen love from guys like McShay or Kuiper, pretty much everyone else thought, okay, Josh Allen's going to need a year.
Yep.
All right. The Chiefs traded up from the 20s to 10 last year to get Pat Mahomes.
Yep.
Nobody bitched when he wasn't starting.
Because he was behind Alex Smith.
And the Bills signed A.J. McCarron to have a veteran in place.
Right.
And A.J. McCarron is not Alex
Smith. They looked
at the
Chiefs situation and thought that's better for Pat Mahomes because he's the backup to Alex Smith. And again, also remember, Alex Smith also had that torrid start to the year too.
Well, that was before it happened, though.
Right, but I'm saying is he was behind a guy who was looked at as a good quarterback in the league.
Eh.
I mean,
before last year. He was okay.
But he was...
Before last year, he really was only okay.
Right.
And again, it just goes to show that when you want to be lazy and drive a narrative, that's fine.
And you could argue that Alex Smith probably was a top 15.
He was established as a starter.
Yes.
Whereas AJ McCarron never has been.
Yes, exactly.
Now, again, what I want to say
and
is
also
this.
The narrative of Peterman, too.
I'm changing my narrative on Josh Allen, mostly because of the fact that I have to embrace the fact that he is the Bills quarterback. Did I love the pick? No.
No, of course
I
not.
I did not.
There's
Frank
a video.
Has video proof that I didn't love the pick. But I know what I have to do. I have to embrace this man.
Yep.
And I'm willing to. Yep. The guy is guy's actually charismatic enough that it's going well. You can't fall for narratives. You can't be lazy and write your narratives just to piss off fans. And I know that's what you did, Bleacher Report. I don't even know who the guy is that wrote the article. I know it wasn't Ty Dunn, because Ty would know where to look. Beat writers.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I'm wasting my time on this. I'm wasting my breath on this.
You kind of are.
And I'm kind of mad that I have wasted my time on this. And now I wasted all your time on this. Thanks for listening, by the way. I just, meh.
We're at meh right now.
I made it to meh. I made it from screaming idiot to meh.
Yeah.
The Bills play their first preseason game on Thursday.
They do.
I have no idea who starts this game.
Do you think it's going to go McCarron the first quarter, Peterman second quarter, Allen the second half?
I'm going to agree with you on Allen.
Okay.
I don't know which one's going to start.
Okay.
And I don't know what it means. And I don't think anyone's going to know what it means.
Based on what
I know people are going to try to draw up what it means, especially if it's Peterman.
Based on what I've been...
If it's Peterman, things are going to go on fire because people are going to be like, McCarron and Allen can't get past a guy who threw 5 interceptions almost as bad as Johnny Manziel in the CFL. Yo, we got to talk about Johnny Manziel.
Okay, but real quick. I suspect it's McCarron because he seems to have been the one that's been most steady out of him and Peterman, obviously.
I think it's going to be Peterman because McDermott doesn't want people reading too much into things. That's literally what he did for the new era practice, I think. Like, I know that he says that it's just part of the rotation,
but I think
he's trying to not tip his hand.
I want
to
see it. I want to see it.
So I think it'll be Peterman.
Okay. I think it's McCarron. You think it's Peterman.
Which then makes people go ahead and think, oh boy, these guys can't beat the guy who threw the most picks and a half, and Johnny Manziel tried to replicate.
He did. We talk about that.
I mean, he didn't try to, and I think the man actually was thrown to the wolves, a la Nathan Peterman. If you're gonna have your narrative, stay consistent at least, damn it.
Yeah. He's also on a really bad team.
But in the end, and this is what I would say about Peterman's game in LA, there were still some really bad decisions.
Yeah.
Really bad decisions. That first interception from Peterman kind of reminds me of one of the later ones from, one of the first interceptions from Manziel was reminding me of a couple of the out patterns from Peterman. The routes got jumped on those.
Yep.
They were predictable and they were thrown. Whoops. Manziel's last interception reminded me of two of Peterman's where he got blast and you just chucked up a prayer. You can't do that.
Yeah,
and
if you're gonna chuck it out of bounds.
And then Peterman's first, and Manziel's second, will always have that very similar error.
Yeah,
of it being dropped and tipped up right to a defender.
Yep.
I don't know what you could do about that. Manziel played the hero on that play. He shot put it left handed. Which was kind of badass that it was able to go right to the midst of a running back.
Yeah.
Problem was, he didn't reel it in.
Yeah.
And we also got our second Johnny Manziel's dead on the football field meme.
Yeah, that was pretty.
I'm sorry to laugh at the pain of a man that's trying to make a comeback and he's trying to do things better in his life and everything like that.
I respect him for that.
But
that's funny.
I also don't necessarily feel bad for a guy that decided that partying was more important than honing his craft.
His career.
So I don't feel too bad.
Right.
I do feel a little bad because it looks like the Alouettes are the Browns of the CFL. And I watched literal turnstiles playing at offensive tackle for them. I watched that game, Frank. I watched that game. And I was laughing. Joe and I were watching that thing while doing a nightcap, and I had to turn my mic off at that second interception when Johnny Manziel literally did everything that he could to not get sacked or destroyed.
Were you?
And then it still bounces off of a hand and right to a defender, and I lost it.
Were you literally raffling?
I wasn't rolling on the floor, but I was doing the slamming of the hand on the counter.
I was hunched over on your chair, holding your stomach.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So it just goes to show that no comeback story is ever going to be as pretty as one might depict it could be. Look, y'all can't be the Bills against the Oilers. I'm sorry. It doesn't always go that way. Your comebacks may never be. Hell, they may never be the comeback of the Leftovers podcast. A project that we started at Buff State.
Yeah.
So, and this is far less glamorous. But no, that just, if you're going to laugh about Peterman, you have to be able to laugh about Manziel. If you're going to try to defend Manziel, then you have to defend Nathan Peterman. You have to stay consistent in it if that's going to be the case. And I'm going to remain consistent. There were some really bad things that both of those guys did. There were also moments where you saw, wow, they really kind of got shoved into a bad spot here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to think both. But in the end, 1-4 interceptions and 1-5 interceptions in their first halves of debuts in their league. The parallels are uncanny. And at the end of the day, when you turn the ball over that much, that's just what it's going to be.
Yep.
By the way, I hate the Patriots for another reason.
Okay. I mean, there's plenty of reasons to hate them.
Look.
What's this one?
Look, I get it that Bill Belichick doesn't necessarily want rookies. But are you ready for New England's running back depth chart?
Read it.
Rex Burkhead.
Yeah.
Sony Michel.
Yeah.
James White.
Yeah.
Mike Gillisley. Actually, no. I read that wrong. Hang on.
Messed up already?
Yes, I did.
Jeez.
Because there's a lot of running backs here. All right, it's Rex Burkhead, Sony Michel, James White, Jeremy Hill, Mike Gillisley.
Five.
Remind me why they needed to steal our backup running back again.
Reasons.
No.
Middle finger.
Yes. I'm glad Brady fumbled that stupid ball on the last drive of their fourth quarter. Eat it. Holios.
But it's not even them taking Gillisley. It's they drafted Sonny Michel, too.
And they're not going to put him in. They're going to ruin him. They're going to ruin any fantasy appeal that he has.
Yeah.
And this is, if you're not Tom Brady or Rob Gronkowski, you're not worth putting onto a team in fantasy. That's
Sorry.
It.
Sorry, Edelman.
Sorry, Edelman.
Well, sorry, isn't Hogan. He also spending the first four games, too?
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, Edelman. Sorry, Hogan. Sorry to you. This signed Eric Decker.
Yeah. Sorry, every running back and defense.
Sorry, yeah, literally every running back ever.
Yeah, Brady and Gronkowski are the only guys worth for fantasy.
So, yeah, that's why I hate New England.
Okay.
They give you far less fantasy value than they should.
And they're so good.
I'm going to win like 13 games this year.
So, here it is, Frank. The first actual preseason game is going to be happening.
Mm-hmm. We could talk more about it Wednesday.
We can. I would rather recap. Because what are we going to do? Do a preview?
I don't know.
No.
We can find some other stuff to talk about.
We'll find a lot more to talk about. I think we'll be fine here.
Okay.
And I think this one's going to be shorter than the last couple. Mostly because we didn't have a guest. It was just you and me again for the first time in a little while.
It's fine.
But that's fine.
Yeah.
Let it be. I don't know how me and Del Reed picked the Bills to go 9-7.
Yeah.
Defense and emotions was one of the responses, and I think that's absolutely right. Oh, well. I'm not going to stress about it. Actually, hang on. We're not done real quick.
We're not?
We're not done real quick.
Oh.
And I'm going to end it this way for a reason.
Okay.
Congratulations to the Alex Rice Foundation.
Yes.
For getting their park finally built. And I'm so happy that I stopped over there yesterday.
Oh, you did?
I did. And
how was it?
It looks fantastic. Frank, I haven't skateboarded in...
You can say it.
In almost 20 years. And I'm ready to grab a board and try to shred a pool. I'm not going to lie to you. It looks fresh. They have a lot of pools. Like, they have multiple pools in this park, and I love that. Most street most parks around here, they're street parks.
Mm-hmm.
But if you love riding the bull, that's the park for you. It looks pristine. There's a ramp heading into the bowl, too, which is actually kind of cool. Possibly dangerous. I will never do it. But there's also street elements in there as well. Because, I mean, it's a skate park. You have to. But, again, it looks great. And I'm so happy for all of them that they finally got what they were looking for, which was a very concrete, very real, tangible thing. To be able to honor Alex Rice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very happy for all of them. So shout out to all of them. Shout out to Brian Duff, who really helped drive a lot of the public to help out with this. I mean, he used a platform that, you know, the Sabres gave him the platform to be able to help the Alex Rice Foundation.
Giving him the claps.
Yes. And clapping up. Again, it was awesome to see. And
yeah.
Honestly, I think one of these nights, I got a game at Northtown Center tonight. I might just grab a board and do some pregame carve.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Hey, where's Derek? He's on an ambulance. Why?
He
decided to try to skateboard before playing hockey.
He
in his hockey gear.
He broke his knee.
You see, joke's on you. I wouldn't do that. You want to know why? I would wear my hockey shin pads, which cover the knee, by the way. I would wear my shin pads.
Yeah, but this is you we're talking about, so you would find a way to break your knee.
Bro.
Or at least sprain it.
I'll do it.
Or at least sprain it.
That's very real.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
Okay.
I'm going to do it. This has been the Leftovers Podcast here on WGR550.com. I'm Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank O'Curry.
Thanks, as always, for listening. And you know, as they say, well, they're going to be telling me this, too. Do a kickflip.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.